Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
36 present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Halford and Buckholder excused from the call. I do note Representative Halford's presence.
The prayer today is by Pastor George McNevin of the Bethel Assembly of God. Will the members please rise for the prayer?
Shall we pray? The Lord is our shepherd. He causes us to not want. He allows me to eat very well each day. The waters around me are pure. The Lord makes me feel refreshed by sleep. The paths are good. Even if death threatens, I am not alone. Thy strength gives me assurance. I even learn when my adversary opposes me. My health is restored. Joy is my lot. Yes, goodness and second opportunities shall be given me over and over. When all of this is over, the joy of meeting you face to face will make a wonderful reward. And oh yes, Lord, thank you for helping our hockey team. Amen.
Representative Randolph.
I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 554 be put on tomorrow's calendar.
Representative, motion for the body is a motion to put House Bill. Representative Miller.
Speaker, a member cannot rise in this house and move to put something on the calendar tomorrow. There are procedures that I think the member should investigate first, but the simple motion to just put something on the calendar tomorrow is out of order.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Miller is correct. The motion is out of order, and I will rule it out of order at this time. House, please stand at ease. Representative Rogers.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
There's no objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
There is a correction to the journal for the 40th day. On page 422, change Senate Bill 301 amended to committee substitute for Senate Bill 301 amended. With this correction, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 40th, 41st, and 42nd days in House Supplement Number 19.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 40th day is corrected and the 41st and 42nd days in the House Supplement Number 19 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
If there's no objection, the journal and the journal supplements stand approved by the House. Are there guests for introduction to the House this morning? Representative Haugen. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and Gallery B, and Anchorage constituent, Mr. John Creed.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we have some visitors from out of town. This past weekend, the Governor's Mental Health Advisory Committee has been meeting, as well as the directors from mental health clinics. We have Dr. Mason Robinson, who's the director of API. We have Dr. Jill Betrell from the Fairbanks Community Mental Health Clinic. Dr. Michael Graff from the Tanna Chiefs Mental Health Clinic in Fairbanks. Dr. Steve Parker from Cordova Mental Health. Dr. Paul Turner from Central Peninsula Mental Health Kenai, and Shannon Turner from Kenai.
Representative Randolph.
Just an introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Randolph.
I'd like to introduce a couple people in Gallery B. Karen Bird of Anchorage, who's the owner of the Little Red Schoolhouse, a prep school in Anchorage, and Judy Melroy of Juneau.
Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have a constituent, a longtime friend, Mr. Frank Peterson from Kodiak area.
There are further guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate approved the following citations and they are returned. Honoring Fred Eastaub by all members of the House and Senate. Honoring Betty A. Guy by all members of the House. Honoring the City and Borough of Juneau on its centennial by Representatives Miller and Duncan and Senator Ray. Honoring the City of Haines centennial years by Representative Duncan and Miller and Senator Ray. These citations have been sent to enrolling. The Senate has approved the following citation and it is transmitted for consideration. Honoring Edward Bellringer by Senators Kelly and Bradley. Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to recede from its amendments to House Bill number 684 to allow certain investments of the general fund in insured mortgages, namely Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 684, amended Senate, permissible investments of the state, creating a division of Treasury effective date. The President appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the above bills. Senator Coletta, Chairman, Senator Curtula, Senator Holman. The House members are Meekins, Cotton, and Hayes. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
Dear Mr. Speaker, no, excuse me, I have no communications.
Reports to standing committees.
Dear Mr. Speaker, the House Labor and Management Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the following named individuals who have been submitted in confirmation for the Alaska Workmen's Compensation Board. Mr. M. M. Langberg, Fairbanks, Mrs. Ann Pittinger, Anchorage, Mr. Thomas Chandler, Ketchikan, Mr. Jim Robison, Anchorage, and reappointed Ms. Jan Bogman. The committee has interviewed these individuals and recommends their confirmation. Concurring, Hurlburt, Chairman, Hayes, and McKinnon. Vice Chairman, Rogers, Miller, Branson, and Bettisworth. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 354, making miscellaneous amendments to the revenue statutes under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 354 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Parr, Phillips, Barnes, O'Connell, Anderson, and Malone. House Bill 354 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 905 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for aid for miscellaneous municipal purposes and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 275 by Carney, an act making a special appropriation to the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 275 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 275 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Halford, Carney, Cotton, and Fuller. Having no recommendation, Osterbach, Chatterton, and Jaroff. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 275 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 275 Finance and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Moss, Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Schaefer, Guy, Montgomery, and Haugen. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 275 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, the Finance Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 275 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 275 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the Chief Clerk please read the bill in third reading and final passage?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 275, financed by the Finance Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Question for the House, Representative Byrne. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 275, as I introduced it, was an appropriation to the revolving loan fund with considerable more money. It simply being used as a vehicle at this time to provide some financing for the Delta project for the spring planting. Part of it goes to Delta, and a percentage of it goes all over the state, but it's for the costs of planting and ordering fertilizer and stuff for the coming crop season. 1.2 million of the 6.8 million is money that was borrowed from the revolving loan fund last year to fight fire at the Delta project by the governor, and it's being put back in there because it's where it belongs.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee voted unanimously to appropriate the six in our committee substitute to include 6.8 million, which includes the 1.2 for the repayment of the money taken from that fund to fight the Delta fires. The appropriation, most of the supplemental appropriations we're going to move in one, excuse me, one omnibus bill. However, this one, because of the need to make the money available for right away, really it's almost too late currently, and because of the need to have the money available for loans for seed and also for equipment purchase and those kind of commitments, it's necessary to move this bill separately. And we do have some agreements that, although this, we're always worried that that any appropriation bill would be Christmas treed and come back with 450 different amendments on it. We do have some assurance that this bill will go through relatively unscathed, and the governor does very strongly support it. We have a letter from the governor committing to that.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask some of the supporters of this bill. There's been comments, and just recently when I was in Anchorage, that some people feel we're throwing money away in the agriculture department, good money after bad money, and I think we need to present a more optimistic outlook on the agriculture department. And is there any viability within this world of agriculture? Would the gentleman let us know, let the public know, really, do we have a chance, or is it going to be more good money thrown in bad money?
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the member's question, I think no, it's definitely not good money after bad money. No money that we've spent on agriculture development in the state, in my mind, is bad money. We're always hollering about how we have to diversify the economic base of the state. This is one of the prime ways that we can do it. And I not only supported the original $5 million, but strongly support the finance substitute.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I would point out also, we're not throwing good money after bad money. Every nickel of this money that we're talking about here will be paid back by those farmers out there. It is a loan fund, and it would be paid back to the state with interest.
The question, Representative Byrne.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make a couple of remarks on that. When I came to Alaska some 25 years ago, there was a certain amount of agricultural activity here. And today, 25 years later, we don't have as much agriculture as we had at that time. So in 25 years, the progress is not zero, it's minus progress. That's what's happening to agriculture in Alaska. So you have to ask yourself, you know, why should we loan money to a business that's designed to be bankrupt? And we have designed, we the legislature have designed the business of agriculture in such a way that it's no way for it to survive up here. We don't want it to survive, and we should say that. And Mr. Miles says we should, you know, that any money spent on agriculture is good money. Well, that's not true at all. I mean, we've designed it to fail. It can't possibly succeed up here. Our poorest land up here costs more. Our poorest land up here costs more than the best land in the Mississippi River Valley does. And as I pointed out to you many times before, that the basis of agriculture is land, and it has to be inexpensive land. And yet our land up here is so expensive that no farmer can possibly make it up here. It'd be like trying to rig up a fisherman, maybe a subject that you closer to your heart, where boats were going to cost so much, and your rigging and your gear, that you couldn't possibly make a profit. And that's the same way it is in agriculture, that there's no way they can make a business succeed up here. I've been doing some research this past year, because I've commented on agriculture before, and I've told you that I was a farmer in Pennsylvania originally, and I know quite a bit about farming, and I know that the way we're structured up here, it never will succeed, and I'm sure, as I say, we don't expect us to succeed, really. But the gross product, that's the total dollar volume of business in agriculture in the state, is less than the tax money's put into it. In other words, we're spending more tax dollars on agriculture here in Alaska to keep it alive than it produces. Now, if we can say that about other industries in the state, then those industries could be grouped with agriculture. But by itself, it's unbelievable that this situation takes place, exists in our state here. I have this study pending, and I'm not going to discuss it now. I'm going to complete it, and then I'll bring it to the attention of a special agricultural committee, and I'll bring it to the attention of the body as well. But I'm going to vote against this bill 275 because I think that it isn't reasonable to keep pumping money into agriculture when the basic premise is wrong. And I hope that the rest of you will consider doing the same thing as well.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel compelled to respond to those statements. I sometimes have a little trouble deciding whether the previous speaker is trying to be funny or if he's serious. But in this case, I'm afraid he's being serious. And that really bothers me because I really believe in agriculture, both in the state and in the world. And I really believe that we have a problem coming up in the next 20 years, a real food shortage. I'm not sure if the members know this, but the state of California presently produces approximately 70% of the total food produced in the United States. And we all know what happened last week in California. There could come a time in the future when there would be no food available to ship to Alaska. As far as throwing good money after bad, I agree with the chairman of the Resource Committee. There is no bad money being spent in agriculture in this state, and I don't think there ever has been. We are trying to build a viable agricultural economy here. We have the potential to do so. Alaska produces less than 10% of the food that we produce, that we consume here. As an example, the country of Finland, which geographically would lie between the Nilchik and Northway, has 70% of its country is in forest, and they produce over 90% of their food, and they have 4 million people, and we only have 400,000. So I think that I'm not so sure that the previous statements deserve comment, but I do feel compelled to bring those points to your attention. We have 20 million acres of agricultural land in this state, and that makes us equal to Iowa, which is the fourth in the nation. And I think that it's important for the people of Alaska to become self-sufficient in the production of food. And we can do that, but it's going to take time. It may take as much as 5 years for that to happen, even at our present rate of progress. And I'm not satisfied with that rate of progress. I'd like to see it speeded up. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the remarks of the gentleman from District 7 kind of sound like a strange argument. I know we're not just talking about dairy products, but let's just imagine a simple situation in which you're a poor family with one cow, and the milk that you can buy comes from very far away and costs a lot to transport, and on Tuesday the cow gives less milk than it did on Monday. According to him, you would shoot the cow.
There is an amendment. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Parker. Page 1, line 12. Add, the sum of $10,000 is appropriated for a farm for Mike Byrne in the Mississippi Delta.
Hearing no objection, the amendment is... Representative Metcalf was next, and Representative Bettisworth, and Representative Martin, and I think I may have forgotten somebody. Representative Parr before Representative Martin.
I got to stand up and support my colleague, Representative Byrne. I spent a lot of time helping collect signatures on a petition that tried to break a little land loose. I'm in full agreement with his sentiment that we need to turn loose of a lot more land than we've turned loose of in this state. And I think that appropriating money to a program that the state has to some degree designed to fail, in my own opinion, and I might point out, my grandfather moved out to the Midwest, and he took some land that nobody had ever touched before, and nobody had to come in and clear it for him. Nobody had to loan him any money. He just built a farm there. And my father moved on out a lot further west, and he did the same. He took some ground that had never been touched before, and he built himself a farm. And having grown up on that farm, I have come to understand the process of farming, and I see no need for major amounts of money on the part of this state to be dumped into such programs. They just need to turn loose of some land. It'll get off the ground, and it'll survive. But I'm going to vote against this bill, and I'm not going to vote against it for that reason. The major reason I'm going to vote against the bill is I kind of agree with the concept of getting loan programs running, but we have something in this state that is far more pressing than loan programs for agricultural needs, and we haven't been able to bring it to this floor yet. There is an economic crisis going on back in my town, and people are severely in trouble. They are hurting. They're going broke right and left. There are bankruptcies right and left, and we have thus far the best we've been able to do is get a bill into free conference to get loans out to the people to make available money for housing loans. Well, there's a lot more than housing loans needed in Anchorage, and that's where half the population of the state is. We need loans, emergency loans, to make money available to people that have undertaken business expansions.
Representative Miles, state your point of order.
Not germane.
Representative Miles has called in the question.
Mr. Speaker, I do feel
germane.
It's germane.
Representative Metcalf.
I do feel
he
it's germane.
You may continue. Hope you would note Representative Miles' objection.
I do feel it's germane. I feel that it's germane that from the standpoint that we need to consider before we need to place priority on emergency loans for the people that are going under back home. There are businesses going under, there are contractors going under, and they need not go under. We are going to pull through this economic slump. This state needs to make some emergency appropriations, and I think they precede the importance of agricultural loan funds. Thank you.
Representative Bettisworth, and Representative Parr, and then Representative Martin. Representative Bettisworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief, but for those of you who are concerned about this money, being fiscal conservative myself, I would like to point out that under the lands bill passed by this body last year, set a minimum price of $400 an acre on what some of us claim to be swamp land that the Division of Lands is trying to give to the people of Alaska. I would submit, sir, that this money is a form of a loan to farmers, and to date, the state of Alaska has less than $400 an acre invested in the farmland in the Delta area.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd only like to point out that, and I wanted to do this before we got off on the sidetrack, that agriculture used to flourish in Alaska, both in the Tanana Valley and down in the Mat-Su. And it really died to a great extent because it couldn't compete with for agricultural products coming up from the lower 48 once we got the increased shipping capabilities. However, I think it's worth noticing that the cost of energy continually rising, the food coming up from the lower 48 is going to cost more all the time. And as that happens, of course, Alaskan agriculture becomes more competitive. So I do think that the mere fact that it has gone down, as Representative Burns said, does not mean it's going to continue to do that in the future.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I mainly opened up that question because basically I'm really hopeful that agriculture has a chance in Alaska. I very much believe in it. However, I am most concerned on a basis that, you know, will it survive or is it just giving people employment? Now, I because of my faith in the people involved in it, I will support this bill, but I also want to know, is there anything being done to back up these efforts, like marketing, like the possibility of export? a lot of people, including myself, feel that the barley project seems at this time was a big failure, and how much did it cost the taxpayers? Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was a success. And so here again, I'd like to have, for those who are promoting agriculture program, we'll be able to have the backup necessary with the railroad and marketing.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think perhaps I would be remiss if I didn't stand up and say I had an occasion to visit the Delta Project this summer. I toured it at some length, I believe, and it is my impression from what I have learned of that project that it is doomed to failure. It's doomed to failure unless the state of Alaska develops a transportation infrastructure and a red meat industry to sustain it. I do not believe that we're moving in that direction at this time, and until such time as we have done so, I am compelled to vote against the bill. Thank you.
Question for the House, Representative Byrne.
I wonder if I could make a couple of more remarks here. I'd like to address what Mr. Carney said, or his concern, that I wasn't serious. And I want to assure Mr. Carney that I am really very, very serious about this. that, in my opinion, that agriculture in this state really is a joke. That, contrary to what Mr. Parr thinks, that for 25 years agriculture has been a declining business, a declining industry in this state, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, no indications whatsoever that there's any hope for it in the future. In my opinion, the farmers in this state, rather than being true farmers, are real estate developers. Their lands are very valuable. And I've said it on the floor here before that most farmers in this state are really very wealthy real estate developers. And that's and as long as we have our, maintain our policy here of tight land and tight control over the lands, which are the source for agriculture, that's the way it's going to be. Real estate values are going to go up, and it just doesn't make any sense that you can take and put a farmer out there on a piece of land that's worth $500,000 or $1 million, and expect him to pay interest, and carrying charges and things on that land and make a profit on agriculture. He's got to have his land, first of all, for $1 an acre. He cannot pay $5,000 or $10,000 an acre for his land. He's got to have inexpensive land, and until we produce that, until we produce cheap land, we're not going to have a reasonable basis for agriculture here. So otherwise, other than that, I don't see any point in supporting any legislation to that effect. The first piece of legislation we need is legislation to get land out. And Mr. Miles is chairman of the very powerful House Resources Committee, and he actually, in effect, controls land policy in the state. And maybe Mr. Miles will think reasonably about getting land out. I don't know. I've asked him before. I intend to work with him in the future.
But it is a very powerful committee we roll and recognize, and maybe he'll change. And one remark to Representative Brown. He said that apparently I thought that if the cow was producing less milk on Tuesday than it was on Monday, that my theory was to shoot the cow. Well, that is a theory, but that's Mr. Brown's theory. That's not my theory. My theory would be that we take that cow and we find out why the cow is producing less milk on Tuesday than on Monday. And I found out that the reason the cow is producing less milk is because land is so expensive. And we'd get the land out, you see. And I hope Mr. Brown will take that into consideration. Thank you.
Maybe we could ask the cow why we're here so long today. Representative Rogers.
Yes, to speak to this bill, Mr. Speaker, the bill makes an appropriation to a loan fund, which is primarily short-term loans for seed and fertilizer for this summer. Now, if you want to make sure that there's not agriculture in Alaska, you can vote against the bill, and there won't be any loans for seed and fertilizer this summer. If you want there to be loans for seed and fertilizer this summer, please vote for the bill.
The question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 275. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
34 yeas, 4 nays.
House Bill 275 has miraculously passed, notwithstanding the debate. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to the roll call on the passage of Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 275 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call on final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Will Chief Clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? House Police Entities. House, please come back to order. Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 554 be moved from Resources Committee, placed in rules for placement on the calendar tomorrow.
It's two motions, Representative Randolph. Your first motion was to move the bill to the Rules Committee. There's two. You can only make one motion at a time.
That can be one motion, sir. If you want to rule two motions, that's fine, but it can't be one motion.
What? Representative Randolph, if you don't state the motion correctly, then it'll be ruled out of order.
Mr. Chairman, I think, Mr. Speaker, I did state the motion correctly. I think it is in order. And
House Police Entities. House, please come back to order. Representative Randolph. Is your motion still the same as you stated it?
Yes, it is, sir.
Your motion is out of order. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item?
I would appeal the ruling of the chair, Mr. Speaker.
The ruling of the chair has been appealed. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, House Republicans will caucus upon a motion by the Majority Leader to recess.
Representative Miller.
I have the floor just to explain why I think that your ruling is eminently correct.
Representative Miller.
Maybe it'll save them the trouble of the caucus, I don't know. The subject matter that the representative from Fairbanks covered is covered in two different rules in the manual. One's covered by Rule 18, the other by Rule 47, if memory serves. I think in the past, on occasion, members have made a combined motion, such as the previous speaker has made, but they were equally out of order. I suppose it's been tolerated in the past only because it was absolutely certain that the vote was going to go down anyway. But I think you're absolutely correct. We should do these procedurally correctly. The one bill, I mean, the one subject is to remove the bill from resources where it currently resides, skip over the other committees, and deposit immediately in rules. That's an entirely different subject than the subject to put it on the calendar for tomorrow. And you're exactly correct that we should not be voting on two subjects in the same motion.
Representative Anderson.
There was a call for a party caucus, was there not? Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess for purpose of party caucus to the call of the chair.
There's no objection.
Good try.
Representative Cotton.
Are the Democrats going to caucus? I don't think we called for a caucus, do we?
No,
I think the Democrats are probably ready to vote on the issue. It looks like there's only one party going to have a caucus, or am I mistaken?
There is a Democratic caucus has not been called. There is a Republican caucus been called. There's no objection. The House will stand in recess to call the chair for purpose of party caucus. Will the House please come to order? Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to withdraw my appeal of your decision of my motion.
Motion is withdrawn.
I'd like to place a new motion.
Representative Randolph.
I'd ask unanimous consent that House Bill 554 be withdrawn from the Resource Committee and placed in rules.
The motion for the body is a motion to remove House Bill 554 from the Resources Committee and place it in the Rules Committee.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask for a roll call vote and I would call the House.
There has been a call to the House on the motion. Will everybody remain in their seats so we can see who's absent?
Who's excused from the chair? Call the chair.
Representative Buchholz is excused from the call to the House. Would the House stand at ease? Members, please stay in the chambers.
Thank you.
Hey, Bill Parker, you're going to pay. I owe you two now.
And they change. Did you get two different balance out?
Yeah.
The House, please come back to order. The call of the House has been satisfied. Representative Buchholz is excused from the call of the House. Representative Chatterton.
We have a brief at ease for the purpose of an amendment to the motion.
Representative Chatterton, I'm not sure whether you can amend this motion, but might also, if we're going to have an at ease, call the body's attention to Rule 23D, which says all bills involving appropriations, revenues, or bonding must be referred to the Finance Committee before they can be advanced to the second reading. Some members have called to my attention that this bill obviously involves revenues, and that if the motion... The motion may be in violation of Rule 23D because it would avoid a referral to the Finance Committee. The bill has been referred to the Finance Committee after the Resources Committee referral. The House, please stand at ease at Mr. Chatterton's request. Order. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, for the at ease, you pointed out to the members the effects of Rule 23D, and I think that, you know, you can probably reasonably argue that any rules that do not reflect constitutional requirements are subject to being overridden by any action of the majority of the House. However, Mr. Chairman, as a basic policy question, substantial changes in the state revenue measures, at a minimum, should receive some sort of review by the Finance Committee. I think that it's really hard to argue with that on the basis of public policy. And I think that the motion definitely conflicts with the idea that some sort of review should be conducted in the Finance Committee of the legislation the motion affects. And I think that on that basis, and also on the basis of the fact that the legislature has been in session only a little over a month, I think the motion is vastly premature.
What? Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, before I make my comment, I would like to ask that you restate the motion.
The motion is to have House Bill 554 referred to the Rules Committee, thereby bypassing its existing referrals. I do think Mr. Randolph intends to change his motion again.
Mr. Speaker, what we're talking about here, as far as I'm concerned, is something that everybody in this body that's been around here any time knows what's happening is it's an attempt to pull a bill out of committee. And I object to that. First place, if you don't like the committee system, and this is what you're trying to do, is to override, make an end run around, or destroy the committee system by doing this, and it shouldn't happen. I don't want to be self-righteous about it. I stood up on this floor for 13 days in a row and made a motion to pull a bill out of committee, and I knew it wasn't going to happen, and frankly, I would have been embarrassed by my colleagues if they would have permitted it to happen. I'm getting a little tired of playing games with this thing. I think we should do an up or down vote on whether or not we allow a member to pull a bill out of committee and get on with their business. I have work to do.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, Mr. Freeman has used this tactic before himself, as he just admitted, and I think it's a totally proper one, and here we are. We all have work to do, and it's one of the most important pieces of work we have to do. We have been in session now going on the seventh week, not just a month. I would amend the motion in light of your reference to the new rule, Rule 23D, to amend it to read to the Finance Committee instead of to the Rules Committee.
Mr. Randolph has withdrawn his motion and made a new motion. His new motion would be to refer House Bill 554 directly to the Finance Committee. Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I wish I'd heard the speech I heard earlier about 4 years ago. I don't know whether I should have voted for the motion or not. It did involve an income tax bill, and interestingly enough, the gentleman saw his bill get close to being law about 3 years later. But, Mr. Speaker, just for those people who might not really quite understand what really happens, a motion to spring a bill from a committee is a motion that is used to embarrass the majority. It is tantamount to the same thing that would happen in England or in Canada on a motion for no confidence that would cause a head of a parliament who's also a head of government to fall. If anybody votes for that motion and they're a member of the majority, of course, that means that we made a mistake in our choice of who ought to be speaker and agreeing with the committee on committee's report as who ought to be chairman and so forth. And that's really what that means. And that's why I don't vote for those motions. If they are allowed by the rules, they do allow people to debate issues that they're afraid are being held in a corner by a committee chairman. And I'm sure that's why they're in the rules. But I'm not going to vote for the motion.
Question for the body. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to vote yes on the motion to move this bill, House Bill 554, to finance out of resources. And I don't necessarily support this particular bill. In fact, I might add that the House Republicans have a tax repeal bill of their own, setting in resource. But I do want to vote on a tax repeal bill on this floor, Mr. Speaker, and if this will enhance the possibilities of getting it one step closer to rules in this floor, I intend to vote for it for that reason, and I urge other members of my caucus and your caucus to vote the same way I do.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I have a pretty good idea of whether or not there'll be a tax title on the floor of this House in the near future, and I think that it certainly will be, but it certainly will not be sponsored by Representative Randolph.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Randolph understood that when he came down here a year and a half ago, and that's proved out to be extremely accurate information, I think, to the detriment of the people of the state in many, many cases on many, many issues. And that's exactly the type of raw politics that I'm very much opposed to. Whether an idea is represented and put forth by any particular individual in this body shouldn't have a darn thing to do with whether it gets seriously considered or not. It ought to live or die on the merits of the situation. I spent the weekend in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and I can assure you, Mr. Speaker, that there is a great deal of support, regardless of what the governor might say, for tax repeal. not some complicated gyration to make the people think they're getting tax repeal. They want the statute off the books. They want their money back in their pockets. And that's what I'm trying to achieve here. I've never had any illusion whatsoever that House Bill 554 or any other bill I promoted on the issue is going to go anywhere. I, like the minority leader, don't care whether it's Republican bill or Democrat bill. Let's get the issue on the floor, give the people tax repeal, not some complicated, over-formulized mutation of tax repeal.
Question for the body is the motion to refer House Bill 554 to the Finance Committee. All those members in favor of the motion, are there nine hands? Will be a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
12 yeas, 27 nays.
Motion has failed. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill number 326 by Miller, an act amending the prohibition against holding shares in multiple professional corporations and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 326 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Bettesworth, Munson, Brown, and Randolph. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 326 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 326 will be engrossed, advance, third reading, and placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading and final passage?
House Bill number 326 by Miller, an act amending the prohibition against holding shares in multiple professional corporations and providing for an effective date.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, several people have asked me questions about the professional corporation and what that is all about, and I'd appreciate it if the sponsor could explain that.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'll offer an answer to that. A professional corporation is something that is allowed by current Alaskan law under this particular chapter to allow professionals who normally cannot form any other kind of business corporation because of ethical standards of their profession or whatever, to form a corporation and get some of the advantages known to most businessmen. This would mean attorneys, dentists, architects, and so forth. And that's all that this relates to. The provision in existing law, without the additional language, is intended to keep somebody from being an owner, or what starts out as a partnership and evolves into being a small corporation of professionals with certain unusual status, liability situations, and tax circumstances. But the current law, I think, was intended to keep somebody from being part of two professional corporations in the same field at the same time. But right now it doesn't say the same kind of field. Therefore, if you happened to be someone who did have dual professional credentials, say if you were an architect and an attorney, or an engineer and a dentist, it may sound funny, but it really does happen. And we had some testimony from Mr. Miller and one of his constituents that it has, in fact, happened. The present law inadvertently keeps that person from being an owner or director in two different professional corporations that are not competing with each other. The present language, I'm sure, is intended to be avoidance of any restraint of trade or monopolistic activity or interlocking directorships as to several professional corporations that are prospectively competing with each other and providing the same service. So the bill just takes care of the very unusual situation where one person might be two professionals. And don't worry, I'm not going to join an electrical engineering firm.
Representative Elias.
Mr. Speaker, would you please have the clerk read the Commerce Committee report?
The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 326 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Bettesworth, Munson, Brown, and Randolph.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe the previous speaker, being a lawyer, might be able to address my concern here. This bill seems to conflict with the individual freedoms of individuals. I don't care how many expertise he has, if he's able to be an engineer and at the same time an architecture and especially an environmentalist at the same time and an inventor, why not expand his professional abilities and be on the various boards that might take advantage of his expertise? So I'm somewhat concerned. I think I understand the intent of it, but at the same time, if the person, the gentleman from Fairbanks, would give us a clearing, are we interfering with the constitutional freedoms here? Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Clearly, Mr. Martin's in favor of the bill. He's reading it backwards. The statement he just made is with regard to existing law. What would be amended in the bill would accomplish the result he just said he favored.
The question for the body is the final passage of House Bill number 326. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock or roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
39 yeas.
Representative House Bill 326 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 326 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on the effective date clause will be shown as the roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. That completes today's calendar. Brings us to unfinished business. Representative Cotton. House Police Entity. There are other items unfinished business. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Meekins.
The pre-conference committee on House Bill 684, which is the bill that amends some of the statutes on, or the statute on the powers of the Commissioner of Revenue, we'll meet sometime today. We haven't got a fixed agreement with the Senate yet. We're thinking about 4 o'clock or 4:15, but the exact time will be posted. And the House Finance Committee will meet at 1:30 today. We'll take up a supplemental for corrections.
Representative Miller.
This is going to be a little bit rushed for members of the State Affairs Committee, but I would ask them to be promptly on time at 1 p.m., as it indicates on the schedule, 1 p.m., to take up one piece of business downstairs in our committee room in 102. That will be House Joint Resolution 58, urging Congress to pass legislation relative to the Dog Bay Harbor near Kodiak. At 1:30, Mr. Speaker, promptly at 1:30, and this is the reason I'll ask everybody to be on time for Mr. Zaroff's bill, because at 1:30 we'll go upstairs to Senate Finance. Senator Sackett and Hackney have announced a public hearing on the extension of the Alaska Railroad to the Canadian border. We have a lot of that type of legislation in our committee and we'll be hearing it, and it seemed kind of foolish for us to waste the witnesses and information and everything that the Senate is bringing to this meeting at 1:30. So we'll hear Mr. Zaroff's bill at 1 o'clock, dispose of that by 1:30, and then we'll go upstairs to Senate Finance to sit in on their hearings on the extension of the Alaska Railroad. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the House Commerce Committee also has an interest in that same matter. I have not discussed it with the chairman from the other body, but I certainly would urge interested members of the Commerce Committee to try to make that same meeting. Either I or a member of my staff will also be there. Mr. Chairman, the House Commerce Committee will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for confirmation hearings for, let's see, I guess two or three people on the board of hairdresser and beauty culture examiners and one person for the board of marine pilots.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The HES committee will meet at 1:30. It will be on the Governor's Advisory Committee on Mental Health presentation and also a House Bill 629 Community Schools Markup.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the printed schedule is, and had we had to change it because neither the Division of Corrections nor the Department of Public Safety was really quite ready with all the information we needed. So instead, today we'll have House Joint Resolution 51, which deals with constitutional amendments regarding Alaska lands, and that shouldn't take us very long. And then we'll move to the discussion of the parole board sunset.
Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource Committee will meet today at 3 p.m. Taking up sponsor substitute for House Bill 390, Boating Safety. And if a redraft is ready, we will hear a committee substitute for House Bill 590 on herring processing.
There are further announcements. Representative Malone.
The Permanent Fund Free Conference Committee will meet today at 2 p.m. the Governor's conference room for an audio teleconference, I believe on the schedule included Nome and Sitka, can't remember the other communities, but it'll be at 2 p.m. the Governor's conference room.
Special orders. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier today, we had an interesting exchange about killing the cow. I think we probably all missed the point. It was the bull we should have been killing. I think it's certainly imperative that the majority act through the processes available to them to bring a simple tax repeal bill to the floor as soon as they can do it through the system that we're all dealing with.
There are further special orders. Representative Anderson.
I move the House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.